Turn, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, the 29th chapter, in your Scofield Bible, page 351. We'll be reading all 11 verses of chapter 29. We'll read the verses responsively. 1 Samuel, chapter 29, page 351. Let's please stand for the reading of this passage. Now the Philistines gathered together all the armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews here?" And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years? And I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day." And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him. And let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s'?" Then Achish called David, and said unto him, "Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, the going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." And David said unto Achish, "But what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered and said to David, "I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God, notwithstanding the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to battle.' Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart." And let's finish on the final verse together. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Let's pray. Thank you for thy wonderful word. We pray, dear Lord, that you'd use it tonight. Use it as would please thee, as would be best for this thy people. Thank you for our preacher. Bless, we pray, with thy power. Speak through him to us. We're needy. We wait upon thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we come now to preach. And this is really what it's all about, to find from thy word what you have for us tonight. Feed our hungry souls. Calm our nervous minds. Lead our wandering paths. In Jesus' name, amen. David is running from King Saul. You know the story. How that little David was tending the sheep on the backside of the desert. You know the story, how that Samuel came to the house of Jesse, seeking to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the king, the would-be king, or going to be king. You know how that Jesse brought all of his sons to Samuel, and Samuel looked at all the sons and said, "This is not these aren't they. Do you have another?" "Well, we have little David."
Didn't even bring him up with the others.
Finally brought little David up, and Samuel said, "This is the one." And there, 16 years before our story tonight, we have young David being anointed to someday become the king of all of Israel. David came during an awful battle when the armies of the Philistines were encamped against the armies of Israel, and a great captain named Goliath was standing on one side of the valley, challenging the Jews to Israel to choose a captain to fight him. Now, King Saul was the logical choice because he was head and shoulders above all the people. But King Saul was scared and he did not do it. David's father told David to take some cheese and crackers up to his brothers who were on the fight in the army. And David took those little snacks up there, little care packages up there. And there he heard the mighty Goliath breathing out threatenings against God's people. And David said, "Why doesn't somebody close that blabber mouth forever?" Once again, being a chancellor of a college, I know more about the Hebrew than the average person does. And David said, "That big loud mouth, somebody ought to knock his block off." And so David went to King Saul, or talked to his brother, and his brother said, "Now, sonny boy, you going back home." David said, "I won't take care of this big loud mouth first." His brother said, "Now, the army is a place for men, not boys." David said, "Well, none of you men do anything about that guy. Let a boy do it." So David goes to Saul, and he says to Saul, "I'd like to go take care of that big fella, and I'd like to put him to rest." And Saul said, "Now, sonny boy, you go on back." David said, "I want to tell you something, your majesty." He said, "See these hands here?" He said, "I took these hands, or these hands, I killed a bear." "That isn't all," he said, "with these hands I killed a lion. I can take care of that big loudmouth too." And King Saul said, "All right, if you won't do that, I'll even let you use my armor." Well, bear in mind, David was a little guy, and King Saul was head and shoulders above all the other people. He was a giant of a fella. Little David got inside Saul's armor, walked a half block, the armor didn't move. And he said, "No way I can do this." I like what he said, too. He said, I've not proved the armor. But he said, "I got something I have proved. I've got a little slingshot. I've proved that. I want to tell you something tonight. America needs what's been proved. We've got too much new junk being introduced to our fundamental churches today. They're falling hook, line, and sinker for every kind of new thing under the sun." David said, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And I cannot go with the armor of the world, for I've not proved them, but I've proved that right there. And I've proved that right there. And I've proved that right there." I want to say tonight, let's stick with that which has been proved. Fully on the new stuff, let's stick with that which has been proved. But Saul would say, "You're fighting an enemy you never fought." David said, "I took care of a bear, took care of a lion, and I can take care of that turkey over there too. And I'll take care of the boy." So David, you remember the story. He took 5 stones. He wasn't afraid he was going to miss 4 times. Goliath had 4 brothers. He thought in case they showed up, he'd take care of the whole family at one time. And David hurled the stone, and of course Goliath was felled. When Goliath was killed by the little King David, the women started singing a folk song in the land. They said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Well, Saul liked the first stanza, but the second stanza bothered him a great deal. And Saul said, "That little runt's going to get my throne. I better kill him because he's going to sit on the throne and wield my scepter and wear my crown and sit on my throne and live in my palace. I better take care of him." And Saul said, "I'll kill the little guy." And Saul decided he'd kill David. Well, David did not want to fight with Saul. And I want you to not forget this. David could have defeated Saul. But David said, David knew what the Bible said. The Bible said, "Don't lift your hand against God's anointed." And Saul had been anointed by God to be king of Israel back yonder, and David would not lift his hand. He wasn't afraid of Saul, but he ran in order to avoid. Same reason Elijah ran. Elijah ran from Jezebel. Elijah could have whipped Jezebel, but he couldn't have won. If he had whipped her, they'd have said he's nothing but a woman he whipped. If he got whipped, they'd have said even a woman could whip him. He had no way to gain. And little David said, I think I'm just going to run. I don't want to fight with the king. I don't want to lift up my hand against God's anointing. Well, you remember one time when David was asleep in a cave and Saul didn't know it, and Saul was sleeping in the entrance of the cave, and David came out and found Saul sound asleep. And his men said, "Now's the time to kill him. There he is right there." David said, "No, I'll not lift up my hand against God's anointed." But Saul began to chase David, and David knew that he fought Saul, he could win, but if he stayed and didn't fight, he's going to be killed himself. And so David is running from Saul. Now, our story begins tonight with David running from Saul. He goes to a place called Philistia. That's where the Philistines were, the arch enemies of God's people. And David goes to a place called Philistia. And there in that place, David loses his faith. Now, I want to, don't turn to it, but I want to read you a passage that shows you that he lost his faith. And David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul." David, you lost your faith there. Because don't you know that 16 years ago, God anointed you as king of Israel? And one of these days, God's going to put you on that throne. Now, I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God will not let anything happen to you until He's fulfilled His purpose with your existence. And David, you don't have to say that. David lost his direction, and David began to run, and David said, "Saul's going to kill me." Saul's not going to kill you, David, because God had said you'll sit on the throne of Israel, and bless God, when God says it, it's going to happen just like God said it. So, David goes to Philistia, but something, war breaks out. Now, bear in mind this. Over here on this side, you've got the armies of Israel. Over here on this side, you've got the Philistine armies. And war breaks out between the Philistines over here and the Israelites, Israel over here. And Achish is the king of the Philistines, and Saul is the king of the Israelites. And so over here on this side, you've got Israel. On this side, you have the Philistines. But David, running from Saul, ran down to the Philistines, these uncircumcised heathen Philistines on this side of the auditorium. And David goes down to the Philistines. Now war breaks out. David comes up to King Achish and says, "Let me fight for you. Let me fight." Can you imagine that? King David, who himself killed the captain of the Philistine army, now wants to fight with the Philistines? You know why? Because he was scared. He goes to fight for Israel, and Saul will kill him. So he says, "Let me fight with you." And David, of all things, listen to me, David marched in the army of the Philistines. And something happened. The Philistines themselves saw David and his men marching in their army, and they asked the question, "What do these Hebrews here? What in the world are these Hebrews doing fighting with the enemy and marching with the enemy? What do these Hebrews here?" They said, "Is not this David? Is not this the one that killed Goliath? What's he doing fighting with our army? What do these Hebrews here? Is not this David, the one about whom the ladies sang, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands'? Is not this David? What do these Hebrews here? Is not this David, the one who was the servant of Saul? Is not this David, the one of whom the women sang?" And they said, "Is not, what do these Hebrews here?" Now I want to say tonight, I want to take that little line out, little question out, "What do these Hebrews here?" Now, I want to say this. There is too much hobnobbing between the armies of God and the armies of the devil tonight. I mean, about every line has been broken down of separation between righteousness and unrighteousness. I don't care what the liberals say, this book is a book of separation. I don't care what the new evangelicals say, this book is a book of separation. I don't care if nobody preaches separation. I plan to preach separation. I've been preaching it for 42 and a half years. I don't see anywhere to stop. And bless God, say what you want to say and trot out of here and look for some little preacher that wears lace on his underwear if you want to. But bless God, behind this pulpit, there's going to be a message of old-fashioned separation preached as long as I'm pastor of this church. And even the heathen said that. But these heathen Philistines said, "What do these Hebrews here? Why are they here? These are not Hebrews. These are Jewish people. This is the man that's the future king of Israel.
This is the guy who's the servant of Saul. This is the fellow who killed Goliath. This is the guy who killed a bear. This is the fellow who killed a lion. This is the fellow on whose head has been poured the oil of gladness, who someday is supposed to be the king. What do these Hebrews hear? Of all places for David to be, in the Philistine army, the very army of the man whom he had killed and won the war for Israel beforehand. I'd like to go tonight to Baylor University. I'd like to go tonight to the largest Baptist college in the world, Baylor University. A college founded by Bible-believing people. A Southern Baptist college where in recent days the board of that college has been considering allowing for the first time in its history dancing on the campus of Baylor University. And the reason that they said that we're going to think about allowing dancing on the campus, and by the way, dancing, I'm talking about rock and roll garbage. I'm talking about. Now wait a minute. You understand, don't you, that Baylor University is supported by the tithes of Southern Baptist people. You understand that, don't you? I mean, they'll make popsicles in hell before I'll give a dime to a school that has dancing on the campus. But they said the reason they're doing it is because the students are going to dances anyway. And it's 100 miles up to Dallas where they're going on the weekend. And the students are getting in car accidents on the way up to Dallas and back from Dallas. And so, for the safety of the students, they'll allow, I'm talking about the Beatle kind of stuff. I'm talking about Rolling Stones kind of stuff. They'll allow dancing on the campus of Baylor University. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'd like to go tonight, right now, to those hell holes where those Baylor students are. And I'd like to make a recommendation to how they can solve that problem with no Baylor students be killed on the way to Dallas and back. Just ship them all home. Get some kids that mean business in there. Some students that mean business. I'd like to go tonight to one of those hell holes where those Baylor students are dancing tonight. I'd like to go there. I'd like to walk in there and I'd like to ask them, let me ask a question. One question. I'd say, what do these Hebrews hear? What do these people of God hear? What do these Baptist people hear in a nightclub? What do these Christian people, professing Christians, hear in a heathen joint? What do these Christian Hebrews hear listening to rock music? What do these Hebrews hear dancing to all kinds of sensuous gyration? What do these Hebrews hear showing their thighs and their underwear as they go round and round in those dances? What do these Hebrews hear with the long hair of a heathen world? What do these Hebrews hear? I ask tonight the students, what do these Hebrews hear? Then if they put dancing on the campus of Baylor University, I'd like to go to the university itself and go to the first dance. And I'd like to stop the dance and say, what do these Hebrews hear? You know, one of the reasons pastor school is so important this year is the fact that there are very few churches of any size anymore that take a stand on separation. That's one reason why fundamentalists love the First Baptist Church of Hammond. There's one big church where thousands come. Not dozens, but thousands come. Preacher stands up and hits the pulpit and stomps and hollers and screams and says, what was right 40 years ago is still right. What was wrong 40 years ago is still wrong. I'd like to go tonight to liberal churches. Well, of course, they don't have church on Sunday night. I'd like to have gone this morning to liberal churches. Well, they got pastors up there preaching in bathrobes, kimonos. I'd like to go to those churches tonight, this morning. And I'd like to have walked down the aisle and I'd like to have stood up and said, you folks here who are Christian people, what are you doing in these liberal churches? What do you Hebrews hear? What do these Hebrews hear? And they'd say, well, Brother Hiles, my father was a member of this church. and my mother was a member of this church, and my grandmother and grandfather were members of this church, and my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother, and all of them are buried in the backyard. Well, bless God, dig them up and take them with you, and get yourself in a fundamental, old-fashioned, hell-raising, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, New Testament, sin-fighting, Christ-honoring, soul-winning New Testament church. I mean, dig them up, dig them up, dig them up! I'd like to say, what do these Hebrews hear? Christian hadn't got any business in a liberal church. Not at all. No business at all. We have some folks tonight. We have them every Sunday night. They come out to First Baptist Church of Hammond to visit, to slum it. And one lady even had the audacity to say she comes out here because my preaching is cute. Now, I've had a lot of things said about my preaching, but nobody's ever said my preaching is cute. Thousands of folks have said my face is cute, but nobody's ever said my preaching is cute. But you sit here tonight, and you don't want this for a regular menu. You want to go to your formal church on Sunday morning, where the preacher has to have the choir close his prayer for him. And you want to stand up and hear some fellow sent by some denomination, not called by God, to fill that pulpit. Some fellow trained in a heathen seminary, and some fellow doesn't believe this book is the Word of God, and doesn't believe that my Savior is the virgin-born Son of God, and that's where you pay your tithe, and that's where you have your membership. Why don't you get with God's people? I'd like to say, what do these Hebrews hear? I'd like to go tonight to liberal colleges and seminaries across America. I'd like to walk in tomorrow morning to their classes. And I'd like to say to those people that believe the Bible, sitting in those classes, what do these Hebrews hear? What are you doing here? Remember that fellow wrote us a letter from Kansas City? Remember? Doc, you're losing your memory. You didn't even remember that poem I gave the other morning. But anyway, wrote us a letter and said, I'd like to go come to Hiles Anderson College. I have been to Southern Baptist schools and some other schools. Now I want to see what your side is like. I've checked with my pastor, remember? I've checked with my pastor, and she said it was a good idea. Right? She can preach too. We had her own chapel. I'd like to ask tonight, what in the world fundamental preachers are doing in new evangelical colleges? What do these Hebrews hear? I'd like to go to every movie house in the world tonight and stand up and say, what do these Hebrews hear when they ought to be in church in a movie house tonight? I'd like to go to every rock concert where people who've got their names written in heaven go and make heroes out of a bunch of whores and whoremongers and harlots and prostitutes and rebels and anti-government, anti-Christ. I'd like to go and say to every single Christian young person in these dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking, sorry, satanic, hell-bound rock concerts, and I'd like to ask you a question. What are you doing there? What are you doing there? Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. I'd like to go tonight to every bar in America. I'd like to go to every person there who has his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'd like to ask you, what do these Hebrews hear? I'd like to go tonight to every house in America watching a home movie. Or tomorrow night either. Whether it's your house or somebody else's. You're sitting there eating your popcorn and lustfully watching the wicked Hollywood movies. I'd like to ask you a question. What do these Hebrews hear? I'd like to go tonight to that college that used to be fundamental, that now shows Hollywood movies on campus. I'd like to walk inside that college, that movie time building they have there, that movie time where they're watching movies that came out of hell by way of Hollywood. And I'd like to go to that place where I preached, and one time I preached commencement there. One time they had about three speakers a year. Lester Roloff and Oliver B. Green and Jack Hiles. I've got to go to that college tonight and stand up and say, what do ye Hebrews hear? What in the world are you doing here? You don't have to have Hollywood to build a college. And if you do, we'll close our doors. What do these Hebrews hear? I'd like to go tonight to Lover's Lane. I'm too old, but I'd like to go. Precious memories, how they linger. I'd like to go to Lover's Lane tonight. I'd like to walk up and say to every young couple whose name is written in heaven, what do these Hebrews hear? I'd like to go to every ministerial association in America tonight, where fundamental preachers are supposed to be fundamental, Bible-living preachers, yoke up with a bunch of anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-new birth people. I'd like to say to those preachers in these local ministerial associations, what do these Hebrews hear? I'm about to go tonight to the Baptist people, the Southern Baptist people, who are sitting down with the Catholics now, it's in the newspaper, sitting down with the Catholics, trying to work out a union between Southern Baptists and the Mother of Harlots. I'd like to go to that meeting tonight, and I'd like to walk in, and I'd like to ask the question, what in the world are you Baptists doing sitting here? Why don't you go soul winning? Why don't you start some bus routes? Why don't you get busy building a Sunday school class? What do ye, these Hebrews, hear? I'd like to go tonight to every place in America where it's warm enough to have mixed bathing. I'd like to walk up and down the beaches and say to the Christian people there in the flesh pots of the beaches, I'd like to say, what do ye, Hebrews, hear? Now I want to make an observation. These folks are still Hebrews. They're still Hebrews. They're down in Philistia, but they're still Hebrews. They didn't lose their Hebrew position or title. I'm simply saying that a child of God ought to run with children of God. What do ye Hebrews hear on this beach? I'd like to go tonight to every drugstore in America where God's people are looking through those sensuous magazines and thumbing through those magazines, trying to find some naked woman to look at. Now, I'd like to say to you young men whose name's written in heaven, what do ye Hebrews hear? I'd like to go tonight to every home where Christians are on Sunday night trying to get their little darlings enough sleep to go to school tomorrow. Now, I'd like to say, what are you doing sitting here at home? What do ye Hebrews hear? There's church going on. God's man is preaching. What do ye Hebrews hear? Abraham in Egypt. Famine came in Canaan. You got afraid God couldn't provide for you. You went down to Egypt, took with you Sarah and your nephew Lot, your adopted son. Down in Egypt, you met this little gal named Hagar. There you are in Egypt, Abraham, outside the will of God. Abraham, I'd like to tell you, the same God that saw over you when you left the Ur of the Chaldees and didn't know where you were going to go, that God can take care of you still in the land of Canaan. Abraham, what in the world are you doing down in Egypt? Lot, in Sodom, you know better than that. You lived in the home of Abraham. You were reared by the father of the faithful. Your mother was a godly woman. Lot, you know better than that. You were with Abraham when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. Lot, down in Sodom, what do these Hebrews hear? What are you doing down in Sodom, Lot? Now, I want to tell you something tonight. Why don't you decide that you're going to be nice to the world and friendly to unsaved people, but you don't have to hobnob with them? Don't you recall, may I have this microphone, please? Don't you recall, turn it up please, back yonder in the Old Testament, when the Jews were coming to into the land of Canaan from Egypt, Moses went to the authorities in Moab and Edom. And Moses said to the authorities, we'd like to pass through on your highway. Just like to pass through. And God said to Moses, you tell the Israelites and you tell the Moabites and Edomites that my people just stay on the highway. He said, you tell my people not to look to the left or look to the right. Just stay on the highway. You tell my people not to meddle with things over here. The word meddle means pleasure. Don't you find your pleasure over here in Moab or Edom. You just stay on the highway. Now, you've got to go through Moab to get to Canaan. You've got to go through Edom to get to Canaan. But you don't have to enjoy Moab and have the pleasures of Moab and sing the songs of Moab and have the dress of Moab and use the lingo of Moab and use the language of Moab and read the books of Moab and read the magazines of Moab. He said, just stay on the highway. And God tonight says, we've got to go through this heathen world. No other choice. But God said, we're not supposed to have our fun like the world has fun. Some of you folks tonight, you came to our church to visit, and you criticized us a while ago when you saw that amazing athletic ability of me throwing that purse up there. And because of that, there'll be in the Olympic Games next time a purse-throwing contest. I'll guarantee you for sure. You sit out there and wrapped your phylacteries of Pharisaism around you and said, I don't like this in church. Well, I got news for you. I don't go to the movies like you do. I don't go play rock and roll like you do. I don't run in a heathen crowd like you do. And bless God, God gave me a laugher. And if I laugh, I got a life at church and not at all. I don't go but two places, church and the grocery store, and there's nothing to laugh about the grocery store. Let God's people have fun. Stay off! The Moabite left and the Moabite right. Stay on the highway. Lot, what in the world are you doing? What do these Hebrews here? Lot, what in the world are you and your wife and children and daughters doing down in Moab? You ought to be back in the will of God for your life. Back in Canaan serving God. Now you just call me what you want to call me. Say what you want to say about me. But brother, if this Bible teaches salvation by grace, it also teaches separation from the world. You don't have to get your fun from Ladies' Home Journal. You don't have to get your fun from Cosmopolitan. You don't have to have your fun from 17 Magazine. You don't have to do it. What are we going to read? How about that? What do these Hebrews hear? Jacob down in Haran, 500 miles from God's will for your life, 20 long years. Think what you could have done back in the will of God. Think what you could have done if you hadn't cheated Esau and deceived your dad. Jacob, what do these Hebrews hear in the land of Haran? Jonah in Joppa, God had a plan for your life to go preach in Nineveh. But you fled to go to Joppa and take a ship to Tarshish. And there you are on the ship going to Tarshish from Joppa. Jonah, what do these Hebrews hear? Ask your question. Have you been in any place this week where God would have said, what are you doing there? Have you done anything this week where God would have said, what are you doing that? Listen, even the heathen want God's people to live right. I've been with the meanest men in the world. I mean, I was a paratrooper. I've seen the filthiest living men in the world. After that, it got worse. I became in construction work. And I worked in building. And I've heard every kind of filthy word a man can say. I heard filthier people. Then it got worse. I went to house up anyway. But I have never met, Dr. Evans, in all these years, I've never met one man, no matter how vile, how wicked, how immoral, that didn't want a clean girl for a wife. The world wants to respect Christians. Peter, warming by the devil's fire? What do these Hebrews hear? Noah, unclothed and drunk. What do these Hebrews hear? Jehoshaphat, up fellowshipping with Ahab and Jezebel, making some kind of a godless alliance. What do these Hebrews hear? Your son, Jehoram, is with you. Jezebel and Ahab's daughter, Ithaliah, is with them. Your son is going to fall in love with Ithaliah. And she's going to bring a Jezebel down to the southern kingdom, just like the northern kingdom already has a Jezebel. What do you hear with Ahab and Jezebel? Balaam in Moab. And God plainly told you not to go to Moab. There you are down there polluting your race of people in Moab as an evangelist. Now, I will tell you something. If the National Council of Churches invited me to preach in a citywide revival campaign in New York City and told me I could preach the gospel, I would not do it. Because if I went there, our young folks would go, and they would meet the liberal young folks and fall in love with them. And that's exactly what happened to Balaam. Balaam went down to Moab. He preached the truth. He did not compromise. He did not place a curse on Israel, as Balak had asked him to do. But the young people went down, and the Israelite young people intermarried, intermingled, fell in love with the Moabite young people. They lost their purity. They lost their standard. And the nation crumbled to its knees. Why? I'll tell you why. Because God's man was somewhere he shouldn't have been. Balaam, what do these Hebrews hear? Isaac in Egypt, what do these Hebrews hear? I was called to preach. As a young man, I went to movies. First place, nobody ever told us they were wrong. I can't comprehend a man of God not preaching against Hollywood tonight. But brother, in those days, all the movies were like Andy Griffith. I mean that. Listen to me. Listen to me. Somebody behind you might want to hear. In those days, there was no hint of immorality in movies. In those days, even if a married couple went to bed, same bedroom in the movie, they had to have twin beds. In those days. In those days, movies, but wait a minute, I knew they weren't right. I knew it was wrong even for Clark Gable to be kissing some woman he wasn't married to. I knew that. Nobody told me. Nobody preached it to me. When I walked the aisle and surrendered my life to preach, I told this little woman sitting on the front row of the choir, never another movie. Never. And from that night to this, I've not entered a movie house one time unless there's some church having preaching in there and sponsoring it. 30 years ago, I came to Hammond. This church was American Baptist. I didn't know anything about the American Baptist Convention. I was young. I was from the South. I didn't know anything about the American Baptist. This church was American Baptist. I didn't know that either at the time. The first week I was here, I got a report to fill out, the annual report in the American Baptist Association, a convention. I was tired. I'd had battles all of my young ministry. I'd just taken Miller Road Baptist Church out of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'd just been through a battle. I'd just lost what I thought were my friends of a lifetime.
I was tired. I was tired. I'd always pastored the churches back in those days that were across the tracks. You know what I mean? Berean Baptist, or Maranatha Baptist, or Blessed Hope Baptist, or I hate the United Nations Baptist Church. You know what I'm talking about. By the way, brother, just give me those still. Little nutty, but give them to me. I mean, the restrooms are dirty, but give them to me. I've often said if I were a layman, I'd go to the fundamental church for preaching and the liberal church to use the best room. But I was tired. I'd always been a nut. I'd always pastored the church out the edge of town. All of a sudden, I came to Hammond. I was pastor of the First Baptist Church in those days, a very wealthy church. And now, a bunch of peasants. But anyway, church is rich. The outgoing mayor was a member of this church. President of this bank down here, Calumet National Bank, was on our board. This big department store over here was the biggest department store in the area. Nothing in South Lake Mall any bigger than what this used to be. He was faithful in his Sunday morning attendance to this church. His wife was a member and his son was on the board of trustees. For the first time, I was somebody. A man over here gave $9,000, and $9,000 in those days is like $50,000 now. He gave $9,000 just to put drapes in the parsonage alone. And told Mrs. Hiles and me he would send us every August on a 6-30 day. How many days in August? 90, 60, or 30? 31 days or 30 days every August, a cruise. For 30 days, he'd pay for it every year. For the first time in my life, I was somebody. And I liked it. I spoke to the Rotary Club, Lions Club, Elks, Elephants, Tigers, Rhinoceros Club, all of them. I spoke over here at Thornton Fractional High School, North. High school. I spoke to this grade school over here on Columbia. I spoke to the area real estate convention. I was pastor of that wealthy church downtown. I did not know I was doing wrong. I just knew I was tired. And I was somebody for the first time in my life. They had the annual meeting of the American Baptist Convention, State Convention, down in Anderson. I hate to even admit it, but I didn't know what it was all about. And Jim Lyons, my associate pastor, and I went down there. And they introduced the keynote speaker, a Reverend Mrs. Miller. I'm sorry, Ms. Miller. I hate that term, Ms. Miller. It's either Miss or it's Mrs. Or whoremongerette or something. A Reverend Ms. Miller was preaching. And I said to Jim Lyons, Jim, I think we got the wrong address. They got my name somewhere or another. And they said, we're glad to have Reverend Hiles with us. He's the new pastor of the First Baptist Church in Hammond. We welcome him to the American Baptist Convention of Indiana. I didn't know what I was being welcomed to. But I found out when Reverend Ms. Miller got through preaching. I'll never forget it. It was all over. I said, Jim, we're in the wrong stall. We walked to the door and a fellow met us. I didn't know him. He looked at me and he said, Reverend Hiles. I said, yes, sir. He said, you don't know me, but I've heard of you. And this is exactly what he said. He said, I never thought I'd see you here. And big old tears came to my eyes and I said, you want again. What do these Hebrews here. This world is not our home. We're just passing through.
Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, but I don't reckon I better feel too much at home in this world anymore. Ask your question tonight. Is there any place you've been in the last 7 days, in the last 30 days, where Brother Hiles had showed up, you'd been embarrassed? Huh? Any place where it was said of you, what do these Hebrews hear? Have you watched anything on television that you'd been sorry if I came up behind you and saw you watching it? What do these Hebrews hear? Have you read anything that you'd be ashamed if Dr. Robertson and I walked up and found you reading it? What do these Hebrews hear? What do these Hebrews hear? Years ago, dancing was more wrong or wronger than it is now. And by the way, it wasn't like it is now. You didn't have to work out to become a dancer in those days. I mean, actually, on those days, you put your arm around some gal and you just sort of cross the floor, you know. And put your cheek up against hers and you just sort of walk across the floor, you know. And I've never danced a step, you can tell it. But I mean, you didn't have to go to the chiropractor after a dance in those days. But everybody thought dancing was wrong, and it was, and it is. The local high school in our neighborhood in East Texas had a dance. Word came to me that some of our young folks were going. So I went. Everybody in town knew me. It was a little town, 22,000 people. Everybody in town knew me. Especially everybody in that neighborhood knew me. And right in the middle of that dance, with my big old loose-leaf Scofield Bible in my hand, I just walked in. I mean, the band is playing a waltz. Began to play a march. They saw Reverend Hiles there. Did you ever go into a room and there's a bunch of cockroaches there and you turn the lights on and watch them head for the darkness? That's exactly what happened. I mean, you could tell the members of Grange Hall Baptist Church, just like cockroaches heading for the doors, just like that. I said, hold it, no need to go home. I said, why don't we bow our heads? The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Why don't we bow our heads and thank God for this dance? What do these Hebrews hear? Why don't you decide to be a Christian? Your name's written in heaven. Won't you decide to be a Christian? You're saved. Won't you get converted? Young folks, live in the ghettos. You don't have to be of the ghettos to live in the ghettos. You public school students, go to public school. You don't have to be of the public school to be in the public school. You men on the job in the steel mills and in the factories and in the offices, you don't have to be of the world, even though you have to be in the world. What do these Hebrews hear? Would you bow your heads, please?